Everybody's going to need a Bible. I spent the day at the Chaplains Commission with the brass from the Air Force. The Air Force chaplains were there. Tomorrow, of course, is the Army and what have you. But just Brother Tottingham and Brother George Garner send their regards. Unfortunately, I think they picked up a little more in Virginia than they'd planned. I think they both have coming down with our flu. And seeing how they're from not from this state, so they're not able to be with us tonight, but they send their regards. Take your Bibles, please. Everybody needs a Bible. If you don't have one, grab that red hardback book there in the pew in front of you. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Now, I've been challenged that you know, a lot of times we preachers will get into a rut and they'll preach philosophy or people will think it's philosophy. And I want to show you tonight that what we're going to talk about is actually a doctrine from the Bible. I think you already know what I'm going to talk about tonight. I don't think anybody in this room or under the sound of my voice or even on the internet watching us right now that they're not going to believe what I tell them is true tonight, but I want you to see it from the Bible. So many times we listen to folks on the radio or podcasts or I'll tell you right now, your cube mates, the people you work with, your neighbors, maybe even many of your family members, they listen to what people say and it sounds logical. Some of it may even ring with a bit of truth, but they've never actually read it for themselves. In some cases, they're going to find that what they believe is not true because the Bible doesn't say it that way. And then others will be like, oh, I thought that's how it was, but they just never had the truth in their hand. So let's do a little Bible study tonight. I want to talk to you about purity tonight. I want to talk to you about being holy. I believe that it is a doctrine that God would have us be holy, and I want you to see it for yourself. Take your Bible. Let's start in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 8. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Matthew, of course, was one of the apostles. Look at Matthew 5 and verse 8. If you found Matthew 5, 8, say amen. Let's read it together out loud, please. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, we love that verse. Maybe you know somebody who's counted cross-stitched that on a pillow or it's on a plaque on the wall. But I believe that God wants us as His children, those that have turned and repented of their sin and called upon Christ and received Him as their Savior, He has called us to be holy. Let's look at some other scriptures. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, all the way in the back of the Bible. I'm going to go off script just a little bit tonight, Brother Phil. But look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 15. Don't take my word for it. Please read it for yourself. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 15. If you found it, say amen. Sometimes it's hard to find. If you go back past Hebrews, it's easy to get. Let's read it together, please. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. The word purity in Webster's means freedom from guilt or defilement of sin. Freedom from defilement. Innocent. Pure of heart. Pure of life. Take your Bible. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 11. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number... Actually, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. I skipped one there. 1 Peter 1 and verse 15, which we read. And then 1 Peter 1:16 said, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 11. If you found it, say amen. Read it with me. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now, let me ask you a question. Based on just a few scriptures, we can read some more if you'd like, but just on some few scriptures, would you say that God expects us to be holy? He wants us to be holy. That didn't sound. I got a few up front. Do you believe that I am making this up, or do you think God wants us to be godly, holy people? Holy. Amen. He does. Now look, we're going to deal with sin. We're sinners. We're sinners. And until we get to heaven, I can't wait till we get to heaven. Miss Angie, when we get to heaven, Miss Mick's going to forget all the dumb things I've done. She's going to be so happy in Jesus. She's going to forget all the foolish things I've ever said and done. But the truth is, we're sinners. And if you don't believe that, ask the person sitting next to you and they'll clear that up. Go and ask them. It's okay. Are you a sinner? Yes, you're a sinner. And because, yes, you are. And it says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But God wants us to be holy. God wants us to be people of purity. I heard one man say that it's moral integrity. That was one of his catchphrases. I believe that you and I are like we're the human Bible. People are looking at us, looking at our lives. I was reminded this week the idea of what would my grandparents think of this world. Now, my granddad died when my grandpa died like 49 years ago. Grandma, she lingered. Evil always lingers. And she lived for another 5 or 7 years. Oh, she was a sweet lady, but we could never get the broom out of her hands, so we just buried her with it. And anyhow, she's a mean lady. But what would they think of today? The technology, the traffic, the wonderful things that we get to do, the fact that information's right at our fingertips, we no longer read news off paper, hardly anymore. But what would they think of the level of holiness in just the population around us? I remember when watching Johnny Carson one night, and Johnny Carson was being beeped. That whatever they were saying, something to do with the word pregnant, or the lady said something, said pregnant rather than in a family way, and they buzzed her. They beeped it. Back when I was a kid, you couldn't cuss on TV. Back when I was a kid, you didn't have billboards like for Hooters and what have you. The people that we lived with, even though they were just as much sinners as I am, there was a sense of propriety. And the thing is, come here, Benny. I'm going to show you. Here's what I think's happened, and I don't mean to be hateful or anything, but come here. Here's the thing. So let's say that Benny is the church. Benny is Christians, modern day Christians, and I'm the world. Okay, I'm the world, and I know sin is ugly. I get it. But the problem is put your arm on my shoulder. The church has tried to stay separated from the world. The problem is, though, as the world slides away from God, the world stays at an arm's length thinking it's holy, but it slides right with the world away from God. And we have this false sense of holiness in our life thinking, well, I'm not as bad as the person I work with. I'm not as bad as the kids at school. I'm not as bad as... When we compare ourselves among ourselves, we become unwise, the Bible says. And instead of comparing ourselves this way and this way and this way, we're to always, as born-again believers, compare ourselves this way. How do I compare to the Lord? He, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Bubba. The Lord Jesus Christ is our standard. And I believe that it is a doctrine. Doctrine is Bible teaching. I believe that the Bible teaches us that we are to be holy. Even though we can't be completely holy until we get to heaven, there is no such thing as perfection this side of heaven, please. I'm not that crazy. What I'm saying is, though, we do what we want to do, and now that we're saved and we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, we now have the choice to do right. That's all. We just have a choice. And it's a choice we make every day, all day. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, the Bible says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, the Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." And I think that verse stands out to me the most. Because we're never going to be sinless till we get to heaven. Now, truthfully, all of my sin was placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. He died for every man, not just the ones who get saved. He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." And not all men get saved because they don't choose to be. But the truth is, all of my sin was placed on Jesus. And just like they painted the doorpost with the blood at the time of the Exodus, my past, my present, and my future sin were covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But yet, The Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I even though I'm dead to this world, separated because of Christ, I still live here and I'm still a sinner. That's why we have to have a new body, is because this body is not fit for heaven. It has to be remade. That is why. But while we're here, we have the choice to live a pure life. But it's about the condition of our heart. I've had people say to me, well, bless God, I'll live with my boyfriend if I want to. And I'll deal with that doctrine another time. What's the difference between us and that brother over there who drinks? That brother over there is brokenhearted about it. Comes in here feeling like a failure and begging God to forgive him and goes home clean because his heart was penitent and broken over it. And you walk in with your chest out and you go, bless God, I'll sleep with whoever I want. Remember, the Bible says that God's eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. I want to talk to you tonight about the doctrine of holiness. Talk about purity, us being purity. Now, there's many things that go on with purity. You may think about alcohol and drugs and physical purity, but there's also mental purity. In Lamentations, take your Bible, in the middle of the Bible, just to the right of dead center, look for Lamentations. It's after Jeremiah. So dead center is Psalm 118. Then you've got Song of Proverbs, Psalm of Solomon, and then you've got Ecclesiastes, whatever, and then Isaiah. But look at Lamentations 3. It's right on the back end of Jeremiah, written by Jeremiah. Lamentations 3 and verse 51. Look what that says. Lamentations 3 and verse 51. Did you find it? Did you find it? If you found it, say amen. Lamentations 3, 51 says, mine eye affecteth mine heart. That what Jeremiah was seeing was affecting his heart. Brothers and sisters, mental purity is a real thing. What goes in your eyes sinks down into your heart and affects it. The Bible says, I've made a covenant with my eyes, and why should I look upon a maid? That what goes in my eyes affects my heart. Mental purity is recognizing that what I muse upon, what I look at, what I'm watching, what I'm thinking, what comes in, it sinks down into my heart. And what is in my heart will come out my hands, my feet, and my mouth. Just like in computers, when I was young, we were back then, they had those old punch cards. Anybody remember the old punch card computer systems? Garbage in equals garbage out. You not only are supposed to be physically pure, but we're supposed to be mentally pure. Jesus said in Matthew 15 that it's what comes out of the heart that defiles a man. Look at Psalms. You're in Lamentations. Go back a few pages to the book of Psalms, chapter 24. Psalms, chapter 24, and verse number 3 and 4. Look at this. Psalms 24. I'm in Proverbs. Psalms 24. Let me find it real quick. Psalms 24 and verse 3 says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Who's going to be in the presence of God? Who wants that now? The Bible says in the presence of God is the fullness of joy. When you've been so close to God, you felt his presence, wouldn't you like to go back to that? Psalm 24 and verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So listen, what goes in your eyes, you want to be a pure, you want somebody that pleases the Lord, and you want to be a pure, you got to watch what you put in. What goes in the eyes and the ears sinks down into the heart and will eventually find its way out in the hands and feet and the mouth. We also need to be emotionally pure. That means our passions, our thoughts, what goes on in our head, as well as just information, but our emotions. It says in Proverbs 23, 26, my son, give me thine heart. Does God have your heart? You know, in raising children, consistency is the key, that's true. But getting and keeping their heart is, I'm telling you, is the most, is the target. It's the purpose. It's the point. If you're not consistent, you'll lose their heart. The point is not consistency. Consistency is what gets you there and keeps you their heart. Why do girls want to have a boyfriend so young? Because their heart is not with their parents or with the Lord. Why do guys do stupid things, show off and get themselves killed? Why? Because their heart is not with the Lord or with their parents. They're somebody. Listen, every time your children walk out of that house, the heart string between you and your kid gets cut. And every day you got to retie it. Husbands and wives, every time you go to work and every time you leave that house and you leave your spouse's presence, that string between your heart and hers gets cut. You need to retie it every single day. Nobody just wakes up one day and decides to have an affair. Nobody wakes up one day and decides to destroy a household. It's because time after time after time, day after day after day, the string between your heart and your spouse's heart gets cut and it does not get retied. How long has it been since you tied your heart to the Lord? Every day when you get up, do you tie your heart to the Lord in prayer and in Bible reading? You don't just walk off into sin. What happens? Long before I ever see you lay out of church, you stop reading your Bible. You stop letting your heart stay tied to the Lord. By the time I see it, it's you leaving church. But it started way back yonder when you stopped giving your heart every day and tying it to the Lord. You need to be mentally pure. You need to be emotionally pure. Yes, you need to be sexually pure. God created sex. And you know what I say about that? Way to go, God. Woo! God is so good. God, what? Don't look at me like that. Praise the Lord. God made sex for married couples. Wow, only one Baptist in the house tonight. Praise the Lord. God made sex for husbands and wives. Can I get an amen? God made sex. God is so good to me. But the thing, and listen now, Adam didn't date. Did you notice that? Adam did not date. He went to sleep in that area of his life and trusted the Lord to bring him. You teen boys, Benny, look at me. Alvin, you need to be looking at me. Girls, you need to be looking at me. You need to go to sleep in that area of your life and just tell the Lord, when I'm ready, when I'm the person you need me to be, then bring me my spouse. You go to sleep in that area. Because every time you give your little bit away, you give a little bit away, you think to yourself, well, I'll never cheat on my wife. You're cheating on your future wife. Wow, got quiet in here tonight. Does God want us to be pure, yes or no? Amen. Did I make that up or did the Bible say so? Man, listen, I know you don't get this down at the other church or down at the office, but I love you. I love you. And yeah, I've told my sons. They don't always listen to me. Like yours don't always listen to you. But I tell them. And sometimes they learn the hard way. Then when you give that away, you don't get it back. And your future wife doesn't get it all. Because you gave it to somebody else. And that piece is gone. And see, God wants to have our heart like that. Now, fleshly lust is different than Bible love. In 1 Corinthians 13, we've all heard that you know, love is patient, love is kind, things like that. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Teenagers, I want you to listen to me now. Children, I want you to listen to me. I love you. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. It says, charity, which is selfless Bible love, charity suffereth long and is kind. You know, lust is not patient. Lust is not patient. Lust wants what it wants, and it wants it right now. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. See, there's more to purity than just physical purity. Oh, I'm going to get on physical purity. I know that's the one you want to get to because maybe those are the parts of your life you've actually got under control. I remember the last time I remember the last time I had a drink. I remember the last time I partook of tobacco. I remember the last time I've done all kinds of things. But remember, We're not to turn back and go back to that. Yeah, I put those things out of my life decades ago. Yeah, that's great. But what goes on between your ears? How long has it been since that was clean? What's come out your mouth because it was in your heart? How long has that been clean? You want me to beat up on the drunkard and the drug addict and the pornographer, but there's more to it than just those overt sins. There's more to it. Yeah, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, it says, "Know ye not that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwell in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Your body belongs to God. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Your body belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been bought with a price. So you need to be mentally pure, emotionally pure, physically pure, spiritually pure. Take your Bible, turn to Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19. I think as the church, as born-again believers slip away, we slip away from the world, we slip toward the world, away from God, but we're not as bad as the world, so we think that we're doing okay. But even spiritually, look at Psalm 19 and verse 8. "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." What you believe matters. What you're basing your hope on matters. What you're organizing your life to matters. Do you know what the purpose of purity is? It preserves our fellowship with God. You've ever had, remember when your children have disobeyed? And there's just tension between the two of you because it's not been made right. Maybe you're sitting here today and you've got tension between a brother and a sister somewhere else, a spouse, or maybe parents somewhere, or grandparents, and you're at odds with them. And you're like, "We didn't go home for Christmas this year because it was just too far to drive, and it's just too much emotional mess with our family." You know that tension? When we're not right with our Heavenly Father, there's that kind of tension. It preserves our fellowship with God when we are holy. It's also a command. Leviticus 20 and verse 7 says, "Sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." That's why 1 Peter 1:15 says, "But he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Purity preserves your fellowship with God. Number two, purity prepares you for the service of God. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 21. 2 Timothy, all the way in the back of the book. Now, stay with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. If we will make the choice every single day, we now have a choice to do right. You understand that? We have the choice now. Look at 2 Timothy 2:21. "If a man therefore purge himself from these things," now it's speaking of the sins of the flesh in the previous chapters or previous verses, "if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use." That means prepared and the right tool for the right job. That's what meet means in the Old English. "And meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work." Walking with God in purity, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, being pure, being right with God in those areas of our life, it preserves our fellowship with Him. It also prepares us to be used by Him and usable. It also protects us physically. Galatians 6, 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And I've often told you, people say, "Well, God won't allow you to be tempted above that which you are able." You know, that phrase does not end with a period. It ends with a comma. And it says, "And with that temptation, he gives you a way of escape." And if you're too dumb, too proud, or too fleshly to take the way of escape, you will succumb to it. Why? Because I know that's how it is for me. God always gives us. That lady who messed up your order today at lunchtime or at the coffee shop, and you had a way of escape. You had an opportunity to smile and say, pardon me, can you help me with this? Instead of, bless God, this isn't right. How many times do I have to order this? And it's just that simple. Being pure, being right with the Lord, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, we are right with Him. We are in fellowship. We are usable to Him. It protects us physically. It protects us mentally. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Because you are influenced by what you see and what you hear. It protects you emotionally. There's so many things here. But today, even though the world around us says, well, I love to sin and God loves to forgive, that's really not the right attitude to have. I want to tell you tonight how to be pure. I want to show you from the Bible what it says. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It is God's will that we be pure, that we do our best to walk in holiness with Him. You're going to have your days when you do well, and then you're going to have days when you do bad. But the choice is ours. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. Look what the Bible says. For God, look at it says now. It says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. That means being separated unto Him. That ye should abstain from fornication. That we should stay away from all sin, all sexual sin. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That we should live in such a way that we are set apart for God's use, honoring Him by our purity. Verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence. That's talking about that naughtiness, that sinful desire, that passion that's out of control. Even as the Gentiles which know not God. We're not supposed to live like the world. We're not supposed to live like them. We're not supposed to be like them. It goes on to say, verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. We're to be honest, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. Verse 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Take your Bible, go to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22. Now, based on what you just read, does God want us to be holy? Yes or no? He does. Okay, step one. What are we supposed to do to be pure? Step one is we are to run. Look at 2 Timothy 2:22. We are to flee. We're to run. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Remember Joseph? Joseph come home and Miss Potiphar, she wanted him bad. She wanted to sleep with him. She wanted to have relations with him. And he would avoid her. And he would say, no, I can't sin against my God and your husband. I can't do that either. I can't. And so he purposely went into the house at a specific time when he knew the servant should be there so I won't be alone with her. But she sent everybody away. And she grabbed a hold of his clothes, and what did he do? He ran. Look, you and I know the areas of our life where we sin. You and I know the areas of our life where we're weak. You know where it's at. I'll bet you the person sitting next to you knows where it's at. I bet you they know which button to push to make you mad. I bet you they know which one to get you going. Don't allow yourself to be alone with the person. Don't allow yourself to be in that position. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 3, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. It's like the little boy, mama heard the cookie jar open and little Johnny had his hand in it. And she said, Johnny, is your hand in the cookie jar? And he said, yes, ma'am. I told you not to have any. I'm not getting any. I'm just testing my will against temptation. Listen, you cannot take fire in your bosom and not get burned. You cannot play with sin and win. You cannot do it. You are going, it's going to get you. Flee. Get away from it. Stay away from it. Don't toy with it. It says in Proverbs 6:27, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth in to his neighbor's wife, whosoever shall toucheth her shall not be innocent. Listen to me. I got to tell you, you cannot play with sin. You can't play with it. You can't play with it and think you got a control over it. You cannot sin and win. It will bite you. It will happen. Number two, you've got to accept responsibility for yourself. You cannot fool yourself. As I read earlier in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not into us. So listen, you need to take charge of your thought life. You need to decide what it is you're going to think about. Listen to what it says in Ezekiel 8:12. I don't think anybody's ever seen this. Listen, if you're getting tired and you're spacing, make this the last verse you pay attention to, then you can go to sleep. Look at this. Ezekiel 8, because I doubt you've looked at this one. Ezekiel 8:12. I want you to see it now. I doubt you've looked at this one. This is where the gold's still stuck together on your Bible. Look at that. Ezekiel 8 and verse 12. Look what it says. Then said he unto me, Son of man, this is God speaking, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? These are the priests and the Levites that are supposed to be the leaders and examples in Israel. Do you see what they do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. That means what's going on in their imagination and thought life. For they say, oh, the Lord seeth us not. God doesn't know what I'm thinking about. The Bible says that God knows what goes on in the imagination between your ears. He knows about it. So number one, you need to take response. You need to run. You need to take responsibility for what goes on up here. Because it goes on up here before it goes on out yonder. You cannot look at porn and it not destroy you. It'll put hooks into you. I'm telling you right now, ladies, you cannot have magazines laying around with lingerie on it. If you got a little boy in the house, now you think you're just some old school legalist. No, I was a 12-year-old boy once who looked at the JCPenney magazine. And when I got done looking at the toy section, what do you think I looked at? The brassiere section. Well, you think I'm crazy? Look, nobody else going to go back to that other church. You don't want to be here. Because they don't tell you about stuff like this. And when you find this junk on your boy's phone, don't come back and tell me I'm stupid. Because it does something. It does something to your heart rate. It does something to the dopamine level in your brain. You feel it physically as soon as you crack it. And ladies, every piece of porn I've ever seen in my life is still in my head. And I'm 52 years old next month. Every piece from being at Mike Shaverio's house when I was 12, him sneaking those magazines, to JCPenney catalogs, to everything I've ever seen, to every movie I've ever seen. Just because it doesn't affect you does not mean it doesn't affect the boys and the men in your life. And I'm warning you, don't play with it. If you can't control the internet, shut it off. You don't need it. You better get safe. Listen, girls, ladies, if you don't have access to your husband's phone, you need to find out why. And boys and men, if you do not give your wife the password to your phone and your email and your social account, you're in sin because you shouldn't be hiding it. My wife knows every password I have. My wife knows it all because it's easier for me not to have to remember what she might find out. I just, whatever, she sees it all. The Bible says that you flee when no one pursues because you're a sinner. Brothers, you don't know how freeing it is to just give your wife your password and go, here, my life is yours. Ladies, it's the same way. If you can't control what comes across the TV, you need to shut it off. You need to get rid of it. If you have a fire stick in your house, you need to get rid of it. Because on the next firmware update, it will go TV, movies, XXX. I confiscated all three of them out of my house because we were having fun watching Green Acres. You know, I can go back to 1967 on that Fire Stick and see every TV show, every TV movie. It's really cool for $40. Then the firmware updated. And now it's TV, movies, XXX for free. God wants us to be holy, yes or no? Number one, you need to take responsibility for your life. You don't quit blaming it on your parents. Quit blaming it on the society you live in. Listen, sex and porn has been around since the beginning. Pedophilia, all kinds of nasty stuff's been around. Nothing's new under the sun. But if you don't take personal responsibility, there'll always be tension between you and the Lord, and it will destroy your relationships. It'll destroy your lives. I love you, but God wants you to be pure. Gentlemen, it's time we became men and led our homes. And you need to take responsibility. You need to be mentally pure. What goes on between your ears that you think only you know about? God knows about it, and your wife kind of has an inkling. You choose what you think about. The Bible says in Philippians 4, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think, that's a command, think on these things. You do choose what you think about. When it comes in your head, you need to swipe it. If it didn't come from God, you need to swipe it. You need to swipe it and just say, oh, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to muse on it. I don't care what she looks like naked. I don't want to think about those stupid things. Get rid of it. You think, that's crazy. You must be a mess. No, I'm a sinner like everybody else. And if you don't think everybody else is like me, you're nuts. You're nuts. What came in your head? You think, well, girls don't think that way. Girls think about it. They get angry. They get bitter. They think about malicious things, hateful things about other women. And instead of swiping it away, they sit there and they just let it burn in their heart. You don't think that's not sin? Malice is your desire to see somebody else in pain. Swipe it. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ. Are you pure? Has your Bible reading time been dry? Has your time with God been stale? Have you not been, you go and you go through the motions, you don't get anything out of it. You get to the bottom of the page and you don't remember what you read and you think to yourself, well, that's just the Bible. No, it's us. Because the vessel's not pure. Sometimes when I think I'm pure, I'll sing some songs and make sure that at least the vessel's prepared, and then the Lord can speak. So yes, you need to be clean physically. Yes, you need to stay away from the addictive lust. Yes, Colossians 3:5, you need to mortify, put to death those things in your flesh: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, by the way. You belong to God. Number one, you need to take personal responsibility for what goes on in your life and decide it's not going to happen no more. Number two, you need to be in your Bible. You need to read the Word. The Bible says in Mark 4:19 that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the Word. That's why when you're reading the Bible and you're not getting anything out of it, you need to stop and go back. Need to pray. Say, God, I want to know. I've got. Is there any sin? Is there anything I need to confess? And then pause, and the Holy Spirit will tell you. Number three, you need to take personal responsibility. Read your Bible. Number three, you need to be accountable. That goes with giving your wife your password. That's being accountable. That's your wife being able to go out there and look. You know what's really cool about the computer the Lord gave me through the church? Phil has my password. Sees all my email if he wants to. Lisa has my password to my texts and my email. She knows. She'll see. If she gets out there to do something for me and I'm receiving texts from some other woman, she'll see it. Phil will see it. Listen to me. There's nothing wrong with accountability. It actually builds trust with your spouse. When she knows everything, she'll trust you. Because up until now, have you been trustworthy? The minute you say, no, you don't need this, she's going to ask why. What could possibly be on your phone or your laptop or your iPad or your computer that she shouldn't see? And let me tell you something. If it isn't good for your 5-year-old to see it, then maybe it ain't any good for you to see it neither. unless you're an investigator for the FBI with terrible crimes, I don't know what it is that should be on your computer that your kids shouldn't be able to see. You see, you need to have accountability. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. The devil, listen, the devil likes it when we stay away from our godly friends. So stay sharp. Who's your accountability partner? Who is it that you can ask for prayer with? Who is it that you trust most? Who is it? Who is it? Take responsibility. Get into your Bible. Get accountable to somebody. You know, your body belongs to your spouse. Your mind belongs to your spouse. I tell these teenagers, listen, your body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to your mom and dad and your father in heaven. That's who owns you. Build trust. And every time you act with integrity in this fashion, you build trust with your spouse and you build trust with your children. Every time. You want your parents to trust you? Then be trustworthy. Take responsibility. Be in your Bible. Make them your accountability partner. Because purity preserves our relationship with God. It prepares us for His service. And it propels us into the future. It makes us even more usable. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Why would He do that? Because He's looking. Why? He's looking to show Himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. God wants to be a blessing to you. Are you prepared to receive it? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Are you pure? Every head bowed and every eye closed. What's your heart like tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe tonight you're here and you've got an area of your life that you just seem to keep coming back to the Lord and saying, I'm sorry for. But you know, if you keep coming back and saying, I'm sorry, and your heart's broke about it, then your attitude at least toward it is correct, that it's wrong. But if you think to yourself, if the thought jumped in your mind tonight, well, that sin that Pastor was talking about, that isn't that bad. If that was the thought that popped in your head, I can tell you by the process of elimination, that didn't come from God. Brothers and sisters, it starts in salvation. Being lost, not knowing the Lord as your Savior, to the impure, everything is impure. Nothing we do as lost people is going to do any good to get us to heaven unless we trust the Lord as our Savior. And if you've never done that, tonight you can give your heart to the Lord. You can repent of your sin. You can turn to God and ask Him to save you because you believe He died for you. You can be pure. But brothers and sisters, you that are saved, you that know that you're born again, are you pure? Are you clean? Are you holy? Are you a usable vessel that is meet for the Master's use? What's going in it? What's going in it? Because sooner or later, it's going to start coming out of it. And tonight, you can dump it on the altar and say, I'm sorry. And tonight, you can be right with the Lord. You can be clean. Our Father and our God, forgive us, O God of our sin, please. Speak to every heart and every soul tonight, God. Whether it's anger or bitterness or wrath or unforgiveness or malice or any host of sin, God, please speak to our heart. Reveal it to us now, please, we ask. Now, Father, as we come to You, we ask Your forgiveness. We ask for Your cleansing. As each person prays tonight, God, I ask that You'd speak to their heart individually, that they would do business with You and do right and be right with You in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open, friends. If you need somebody to pray with you, I'm here. It's harder than a lie. The dark seems safer than the light. Everyone has a heart that loves to hide.
so are you. We've built walls nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard, but the best thing we could ever do, ever do. Bring your brokenness, and I'll bring mine. 'Cause love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest,
won't you just agree with God who already knows? Won't you just agree with God? You don't confess your sin to me. It's none of my business.
Don't,
but the Lord knows. Won't you just talk to Him?
Something that you're not.
And tonight, you can leave here pure.
Living life,
you can leave here tonight right with your Father. And on the road to being right with all those around you, God, if you just speak to every heart tonight, oh Father, please.
Found when please. You lay your secrets down. At the cross,
God wants us to be pure people. People whose heart and minds are stayed upon Him. Whose hearts and minds are in tune with His heart. And His mind, the Bible.
'Cause love can heal what hurt divides.
God wants to do so much more through us than we let Him.
Mercy's waiting.
As we tarry,
if
there's plenty of time.
Honest,
how about you? God loves you.
If we're honest,
what's going in?
So bring your brokenness, and I'll bring.
Now that we're saved, we have a choice to love unconditionally. We have a choice now. We can make the choice to be right with our Savior every day. We have the choice. Because besides asking for forgiveness, we can ask for His grace to empower us to take the way of escape. To avoid the temptation, to avoid the sin that comes and the dead life that comes from it. Our Father and our God, we love You and we are thankful that Your word is true from the beginning and that every one of Your righteous judgments endureth forever. And oh God, how they speak to us today. God, how it is true today. And Father, as we go from this place, Father, help us to be mindful that our relationship with You, God, our fellowship is what gets damaged. But we, God, can be right with You all the time. If we could just put down our pride, God, help us. Show us where we've been deceived and where we're deceiving ourselves. And Father, may others see You shining through. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way.